What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.
Boom, what's going on, everyone? It's Steve Larson from Sales Funnel Radio. Today, I'm going to teach you guys more about how to hack the value ladder.
I've spent the last 4 years learning from the most brilliant marketers today. And now I've left my 9-to-5 to take the plunge and build my million-dollar business. The real question is, how will I do it without VC funding or debt, completely from scratch? This podcast is here to give you the answer. Join me and follow along as I learn, apply, and share marketing strategies to grow my online business using only today's best internet sales funnels. My name is Steve Larson, and welcome to Sales Funnel Radio.
What's up? Hey, so I had my event called OfferMind a little bit ago, and had a ton of fun with it, which is awesome. First of all, yes, I'm wearing a Santa hat. I know it's the second episode I've done this. And, Merry Christmas. And if that offends you, I can say what I want. Anyway, hey guys, what I want to do is inside of OfferMind, which is the event I had, there was a certain segment that I did all about hacking the value ladder. And if you don't know what a value ladder is a way to design a business. It's going to help you design how to acquire customers, how to ascend them, how to monetize them, how to have continuity inside of your business. The value ladder is huge. Now, what a lot of you guys may not know is that the value ladder was actually something that was kind of pioneered by Russell Brunson. He actually did a whole lot of work to actually help figure out how to actually do these things. Now, this is traditionally what a value ladder looks like. And I know for a lot of you guys, this is a review, but I want you to see what I'm about to do to it. There's an order to attacking a value ladder, right? And you can think of a value ladder as like a business plan. Okay, in college, I was often encouraged to write these monstrous 15, 20, 35 page business plans, which were not even really that executable by the time you were done. Okay, a value ladder, though, you actually can design out the entire business, how it makes money, how you're gonna send people, how you're gonna acquire them, all those things, right? Get the continuity all on one graph. Right? So it's a huge deal. I don't ever write a business plan, a value ladder. In fact, on the other side of this whiteboard, it's double-sided, is the value ladder for both of my businesses. And I know exactly the next step that I'm building at all times, which is cool because it also means I know exactly what I'm not building at all times. It is a way to simplify everything that I'm doing. Okay. So this is, again, let me just make sure you can see right here. And if you guys listen on iTunes, just know I'm going to draw this, but you'll be totally fine listening as well. I'm going to explain it all as we go. I just am very visual and need to draw it out. Okay, so this is kind of like, this is a value ladder, right? Now, traditionally, now there are value ladders with more than three steps, but we typically will draw it with three steps, okay? So let me just put this down here, okay? All right, so now at the cross of the bottom, there's two axes, right? There's one across the bottom right here, and there's one that goes up the side. And on one side, we have value, and the other side, we have price, right? Now, first off, a lot of you guys, that might confuse some of you guys if you're getting like brand new in this game, right? Price and value are not the same thing at all. And that's a completely different topic, which would be very fun to rant on about sometime in the future, okay? Okay, but we have price and we have value. And what we do is we go, let's say this is money, and then right over here on this side is value. Obviously, the more value you give, the more money you can charge moving up the top. And so what we do is, as we're planning out a business, or as I'm planning out how to actually go and tackle a red ocean or things like that, one of the first things I like to look at is, what is the likelihood of me making money, right? How many cards can I stack in my favor before I ever start? And so one of the things I like to do is walk in and be like, okay, I like to go in and I like to tier the price points that are already in existence inside of an industry. So let's say I'm gonna go inside of, I don't know, let's say I'm gonna start selling real estate, okay? What are the different kinds of price point areas that you see inside of real estate, right? So it's super, super expensive, right? Let's say $10 million. Is there more than that? Sure. But I like to look at my at pricing inside of a value ladder, inside of a market in three different categories, okay? What's the group, right? What's the area of price ranges that are the cheapest? What are the area of price ranges that are kind of in the middle? What are the area of price ranges that are towards the top? And as I do that, right, this is gonna help me determine whether or not I even want to enter. Just because I could enter a market doesn't mean I should. Doesn't mean it's a good fit for the lifestyle that I personally want, right? And so what I like to do is, you know, up at the top, right, down in the middle, and then down at the very bottom, start to walk through different price points that are actually popped up inside of these different categories, inside these different markets that are there, right? So super expensive, right? Let's say $10 million. $10 million, that's, you know, and we have a price range where it's around that kind of area, right? In the middle, let's say, I don't know, you got the $1 to $2 million houses. I'm just speaking very generally here. Right. And then down at the bottom, let's say that you've got a lot of houses that are the $100,000 range, right? Right. 50 to like where it was super low up to like maybe $300,000 range. Let's just say, just to keep it simple here, right? $100,000 range. Okay. Now, one of the things I like to do is I like to look inside of here and I like to see if those are different price points that this industry is used to bearing. Now, can I look inside of there and see like, okay, how frequently does the average person make a sale inside of that market? And so if I'm looking in and I'm looking at all these different real estate agents and I'm looking at all these people who are inside of that area and I'm seeing like, oh man, check this out. These guys, let's say they get one, they get four sales a year at the $10 million price range, right? I have no idea if that's the case, okay? Let's say that they're getting around 1 to 2 sales every single month. So let's say it's like, I don't know, 6 to 8, say seven. Seven per year. In this range, right? And then let's say they're doing three a month, right? Three a month in that range. Okay, so how much can I expect to be making? Okay, now a lot of you guys might be sitting back thinking like, oh crap, like this is really, really simple. And I know my handwriting's terrible, but like, man, I'm shocked at like, the number of people that don't do this. And so they'll go in and they'll start selling some freaking knickknack and be like, oh cool, I'm not making any money. And I'm like, man, your funnel's great. Your sales message is awesome. Your offer is fantastic. Literally the vehicle that you chose, the industry that you went into is not used to the price points to actually make a lifestyle for you. Okay. I swear if somebody tells me they're selling like homeopathic life coaching to college students, I'm gonna go nuts. Okay. Now, I'm not trying to like throw rocks here, but I am trying to get your freaking attention. Okay. Because if you're sitting back and you're like, oh man, how come it's not working for me? It probably, most of the time I have found that it is actually, you are actually doing it well enough, but you literally have chosen, right? You've got these level 8, 9, or 10 skill levels inside of a level 2 opportunity, inside of a level 2 price point. And so what I like to do is I like to sit back and start thinking like, how can I actually go in and develop these? Okay, for example, let's check this out now. Okay, right? You don't need to sell that often, that many at these price levels to really make somewhat of a good living, right? Think about this crap before you go and just jump into a market. Okay. There are some people that I've been coaching the past little bit here. And someone said that they were going to sell, I'm not going to say what it was because I don't want to embarrass anybody. Okay. But it was very clear that they were going to sell to extremely broke people, which again, I'm not saying that they don't need services or anything like that. I'm just saying like, if we're going to make your change, your world business, not the world, man, stack the cards in your favor. Good grief. Like, just make sure you think through this before you actually start diving in. Like, just because you could sell to them doesn't mean you should, right? And so anyway, all right, guys, I got a really cool opportunity here for you. This is what I'm going to drop out to you. Hey, the very, very top price levels, I know, it's going to blow your minds. Okay, oh my gosh, here we go, okay. $100 up at the top. Oh, that's way brighter. Why didn't I have that before? Okay, $100 at the top for a natural price level. The market's already used to bearing around that level. Oh, that's so cool. So cool. I'm really, really excited. Down here at the bottom, guys, we can go super cheap. I'm really excited about it. We can actually get it cheaper than everybody else. We actually could sell each one of these items, which I'm going to reveal in a moment, for $5 a piece. Oh my gosh, are you so pumped? That's so cool. Okay, all right. Now right here in the middle, let's go. We got $25 range right here in the middle of this value ladder. Oh man, look at that. Look at that. And we could actually auto ship out to people for $10 every single month. Okay, we could auto ship out right here. All right. You guys want to know what it is? Pogs. Okay. You guys remember Pogs? When I was in elementary school, these things called Pogs, these little circle cardboard things that were colored and you could play a little game with them. I don't know that anyone ever actually figured out what the game was. We all just had them. And, right. I don't even know if you could find somebody to give $100 for Pogs for. Okay. if you have a huge list or if you are like an e-com killer, awesome. That's great. But how much margin are you going to pull on something like, you see what I'm telling you guys? Like, hack the value ladder. Okay. I want to walk through real quick a scenario here. These are a few things that I look at when I'm actually building out a value ladder. Okay. For real, this is really what I go do. And instead of value at the bottom and price on the side, I want to walk through, one other thing here. Okay. This is something that I look at again, before I ever enter a market, before I ever think through, where I'm going to get traffic, before I ever think through what my offer is going to be, before I ever think through any of that stuff. And I'm not saying, I mean, that's all great. And you should think through that before you start buying it. But before I ever start thinking about that stuff though, the stuff that I'm thinking about is actually this right here. Okay. All right. So down at the bottom, what I'm actually going to do is we're going to put, typical margins. Okay. What are the typical margins I can expect at this price level, right? At the high price level, at the middle price level. Okay. And what I've typically found across almost all industries, in fact, I would say pretty much all of them, this is how I usually see it working. Okay. The typical margins at the different value ladder steps. Okay. So down here on the side, okay, we're going to go with margins. Okay. And then up here on the side, we're going to go time to fulfill. Okay, because a lot of you guys, like, you're making a lot of money, but you're spending so much time fulfilling. I'm not saying you need to get out of your business. I'm saying you should start thinking about other ways to make a lot of money and a lot of margins without a lot of time to fulfill. And a lot of you guys have never thought of that before, or you're still doing, you know, a classic 9-to-5 job. That's a lot of time to fulfill with not much margin, right? That's a 9-to-5 job. That is the definition. It's the lowest spot on the totem pole right there, right? And so if we go through, we think about time to fulfill, right? Let's look at this right here real quick. Time, I'm just going to put fulfillment time. Fulfillment. Okay, fulfillment time on one side and margins, typical margins across the bottom. What I usually see when you're building out a value ladder, right, is that the higher up you go in the value ladder, obviously the more margins. And you're like, Steven, duh. I'm like, yep, it is duh. Okay, on the very bottom of the value ladder, let's say I'm selling a book. Right? Man, that's not much margins. Why? Because it's a book, right? It's not normal. Is there exceptions to the rule? Yes. But again, Steve Larson is not about exceptions to the rule. What are the rules that cause cash? I don't want to have to constantly be learning tricks to make money. What are the rules that make money? I can just follow those. So typically as a rule, right? The margins at the very bottom are very small when you're selling something like a book, right? Or whatever your low end thing is. There's usually not a lot there. Okay. Towards the middle, obviously number two, right? More margins, you're going higher up. Number three, right? Even more margins going up, right? More margins, more. Like, obviously, the place you'd want to go is the very, very tippity top. But who can you only sell to? Typically, people who are already your customers, right? So you got to acquire a lot of customers pretty quickly, typically, right? Typically. Okay. Okay, now let's look at this though. This is what's fascinating. Okay, what is it? How much time does it take to fulfill a book sale? Like nothing, because you already wrote it, right? And so usually products that are down here towards the bottom. And if you're like, Steven, this makes sense because you're talking about info products. Guys, it works for any industry, okay? Watch the concept that I'm talking about real quick. Okay, time to fulfill, or fulfillment time, right? What's cool, what's very fascinating is that it's actually the opposite right here. Instead of 1, 2, 3, it's 1, 3, 2. What I find is that when you're entering a market, right? When you go and you say, hey, Red Ocean, you look really red and there's a lot of competition. I'm actually going to take you and I'm going to turn you into a blue ocean, right? I'm going to bring people out and make a blue ocean out of you. Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. Okay. What I find is that when you're moving from a red, you're taking a stand and you're moving into the blue, this place in the value ladder right here is the place you want to be, okay? And it's the middle of the value. It's funny enough, middle margins, lots of time to fulfill. You're like, Steven, why on earth would we create something on purpose that actually goes and, okay, this is hacking the value ladder, right? Follow me for a second as we go into this, okay? So the way I like to draw this is I like to draw the red circle right there. It's the red ocean. And as I create this value ladder, right, I'm creating a value ladder. And what's creating it that first thing in the value ladder, that first thing in the blue ocean, is that middle spot in the value ladder, right? Look at that. Typical margins. You're going to get good margins, right? That's why you're going to get good enough margins. You can take money and dump them back into ads. You can get good enough margins that you don't need your Facebook ads to be perfect round one, because they're not going to be, right? You can get good enough margins that you can actually go and put the money where you need to start building the business. When somebody comes and they enter a blue ocean by building a product on the value ladder that's at the bottom, I know it's like typically they either got deep pockets, a giant list, they're already an expert in something crazy, or they just like wasting money. Like, I can't understand. I actually have a hard time understanding why anybody ever would enter a blue ocean or try to build one with a low, right, low margin, right, low time to fulfill product at the very bottom of the value ladder. Baffles.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, "What do you mean?" He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Me, I don't get it, okay? The order that I always build in is always middle, top, front. Because as I'm going and I'm building in the middle of the value ladder, right? It's enough margins for me to go and mess up a little bit. And that's okay. And I can, when I do get sales, it's enough of a mid-tier price level, right? I can actually go and dump it back into ads and still be profitable. And the machine works. The systems work. The numbers work better. So what I do is I like to go in, like I said, first of all, number one, this is the first place I like to build because it proves out the main idea with the customer. We take them from the red, we pull them over to the blue, and we prove out the main idea with the customer. Then what I do is I sell something more expensive to my existing buyers, not to those who are in the red, okay? I like to go in, and this is the second place I like to go build, right? If we look at like the order I like to build in, that's the green here, right? The order I like to build in is 1, 2 on the back because it's a lot of money. Not actually, ironically, less time to fulfill than the middle, which is very ironic, but it's usually always true, okay? And then down here at the bottom, number 3, when I start running out of customers, I need to start building break-even things to just fuel these other two top places, okay? Down here at the very bottom right here in this very spot right there, before these 3 steps in the value ladder, that's where I have, this is my content, okay? I take my content very serious. I consider myself to be in the content business and then Steven Larson, okay? It's like my identity. I am a content machine and then I'm Steve Larson. I think it was Gary Vee that said that the first time I heard of him. Anyway, right, so right here is content. Boom. Boom, content right there. So I build content and that's fueling different steps in my value ladder. Guys, you'd be shocked how many people in Russell's Inner Circle have never read Expert Secrets or Dotcom Secrets. And it shocked me like crazy. And I thought they were joking. And I started laughing openly once at a mastermind. You have to understand, though, a lot of these people, they're successful business owners. They don't, a lot of them don't have time to go through the next book. They just want the done for you solution. Okay. And so right down here at the bottom, right, we have the do it yourself solution. Right in the middle is the done with you solution. And then at the very tippity top, we have the done for you solution. Okay, the DFY solution. So I'm doing the done with you, the done for you, and then finally the do-it-yourself solution. But what I find is that when somebody reads the book.com secrets, their natural inclination is to go start at the very bottom, build a break-even tripwire funnel. They're sexy. They're cool. I totally get it. Ironically enough, they are more work than any of these up at the top. Okay? They typically take so much more time to build. It's not that much time to fulfill after the sale, but they take a long time to build. Anyway, so that's the order that I do it in. Okay? And just to keep going here real quick, just so you understand more of these pieces, what I'm trying to do with each one of these steps as well is right down at the bottom, okay, this content, the role that that step in the value ladder is just merely a relationship, okay? That is incredibly squeaky. Okay, right down there, the goal of it is just to build a relationship. That's it. I'm never not going to publish. I will always be publishing the rest of my life, okay? In the middle, or that next step up right there, the whole point of it is acquisition. All I'm trying to do is just acquire, okay? The next step up, the very next one up there is all about ascension. Ascension, I think I spelled that right, but whatever. Okay, next one up is just monetization. It's where I'm just selling my existing buyers more expensive solutions, okay? Monetization, that's it, okay? Relationship, acquisition, ascension, monetization, okay? And that's what I'm expecting to do as well as I'm building out the different funnels. Now, each one of these is at least one funnel. At least one. There's not, funny enough, one funnel is actually all of that as well. But anyway, we're getting deep. We're going with that's probably too crazy. Okay. Last little piece I want you guys to know about this stuff. I know this is kind of a big episode here. What I'm typically also looking at is like, as I'm building out the offers that go inside each one of these things, I'm looking to see which one, I'm looking to see how to actually deliver the offer that I'm promising them, right? So if the job of my sales message is to give a cool promise, okay, the job of my offer is just to fulfill on the promise. See what I'm saying? And the roles are not interchangeable. You cannot reverse them. It's the reason why when someone has a cool product, but it's not selling, they didn't make a sales message, right? Of course it's not selling, right? The role of the product, the role of the offer is to fulfill, not sell. The role of the sales message is to make a new promise, not fulfill, okay? And so what I do for each one of these things, is this okay? This is a far more technical episode than I typically do inside Sales Funnel Radio. I just wanted to teach this stuff to you guys. Do you see that what I'm looking at when I'm coaching a lot of people? There's a lot of frameworks that are running through my mind when I start looking at people's stuff. And I'm like, yes, no, good, bad, wrong order. Look over here. Don't look over there. Like, you know what I mean? But like one of them that I'm really looking at is I'm looking to see like, okay, what's your price range? Okay, what is the historical price range that your market is used to bearing? Oh, why are you selling down in the do-it-yourself range, right? There's an individual that I buy services from who, this person is an absolute killer. They're absolutely amazing. I could tell right from the get-go talking to them. I'm not even telling you the gender so you don't know, okay? I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I was blown away at how freaking cheap the services were. I mean, I was astounded. I thought at least that I was going to be charged at least 5 times more than the person said they were going to charge me. I was like, what? This has happened to me multiple times, guys. Stop selling your crap, right? You're done with you services at do-it-yourself prices. Okay? Cut it out. Okay, you're actually hurting yourself. I actually lost a little faith in the person's ability to fulfill and deliver to me. I actually refused to pay the cheaper price. Okay, I told this person, I was like, there's no way I'm going to pay you that much. And they're like, no, it's totally fine, totally fine. I was like, it's not fine. I was like, you charge all of your clients this much money? I was like, that's pennies. That's absolutely nothing. You have that many? What? Like, you guys, a lot of you are already better than the majority of the market at what you do. stop selling your stuff at stupid, dumb, low prices just because you're afraid and you have a price aversion. I'm just here giving you a little popolars and love and help you understand like why you may not be doing well even though you have all the pieces there. Your sales message is good enough to sell, right? Your offer is good enough to fulfill. Your funnel is good enough to deliver it all. But you are just not making money, some of you, just because you're selling even done-for-you services down at do-it-yourself prices. That's exactly what this person was doing. We weren't even going from from this level to this level. We were going from the very top level service all the way down to the bottom. It was almost nothing. I was almost embarrassed. I actually felt like I was in the wrong place. I actually refused to even take this person's services on until we 4X'd the price. That's a true story. It happened yesterday, okay? And what I want you to know, that's what I'm trying to help you guys understand here with this. As you are looking to see what to enter, understand that just because you can sell something doesn't mean you should. And just because you could go into a blue market, what's the order you're going to do it in? And as you start to enter the blue, what are the historical price points that your market is used to bearing? And how can you enter in at near the middle, right? A little bit more expensive, be premium, okay? But with the expectation that people are already expecting those kinds of price points. I was expecting more money to go out four times, right? Over four times the amount of money. We actually didn't even decide to do a business with this person until they 4X'd their price. And then it was like just tolerable enough comparative to all the other services. And I have a lot of agencies working for me, okay? And I was like, are you serious? Even Colton walked over to the camera and was like, look, you know how hard it would be for Steven to do this on his own? Like, there's no way. There's no way. Like, come on. It's worth way more. Are you serious? Like, it was an insanely low price. Insanely low. Done-for-you services at do-it-yourself prices. The very top level, the value ladder services at the very bottom of the value ladder prices. And I was like, holy crap. And I actually felt embarrassed for the person how shocked they were about what I was saying. And when I don't want you guys to go through that. And I probably should have started with that story so you have more context on what I'm doing here. But I just want you to know when you're looking at this, like, guys, look at the historical price points. Look at the historical, what is the market used to bear? All right, what are they used to bearing? Russell taught me this really cool thing once and he said, you know what's funny, man, is when I started selling and I started doing all these cool masterminds and stuff like that, the price point, the accepted market price point for a year-long mastermind was $5,000. I was like, $5,000? And he's like, yeah. And then some dude came along and he's like, dude, I'm charging $8,000. And everyone was like, oh, are you serious? $8,000? That's crazy. You're nuts. And then we all kind of started charging $6,000, $7,000, then up to $8,000. And then the market started charging $8,000 for a year-long mastermind. And then someone was the crazy psycho and went to $10,000. And then all the price levels, the market prices that everyone was used to spending went up another few grand. And then went to $12,000. And then $15,000. And $18,000. $20,000. $22,000. $23,000. $25,000. Ooh, that guy was crazy, right? Then it went to $30,000. $35,000. $50,000. Russell's $50,000 now. Russell has also masterminds he's a part of where he pays $100,000 a year just to be part of them. Okay. But that was not possible even like 6 or 7 years ago. The historical price points of the market he was selling into could not bear those levels. And so if you don't know what those are, you are like, when it comes to like pricing, like hack the value ladder, my friends. There already is one in existence inside of your red ocean. And if you're going to go build something that's new, like understand what people are already used to buying. Right, so that you don't have the embarrassment of someone going like, that cheap? Because I will tell you, I felt like someone got me inside of a cool Ferrari. I just went and I test drove it. I was super excited about it. And I got out of the car and there was a smug look on the salesman's face. And they said, hey, for this, we're going to give you this awesome Ferrari for only $2,000. Yeah. Right? You'd be like, what's wrong with it? Right? It doesn't feel like a deal. It feels like you're actually in jeopardy. Okay. And some of you guys are doing that right now. Raise your prices. Okay. Just raise your prices. Understand the historical levels, figure out where they are, go understand the historical levels and then go a little bit more premium. Understand the order you're going to attack the value ladder in, right? You're done with you, right? Then the done for you, then the do it yourself services. Okay. And when you do that, my friends, welcome to the capitalist pig game. Okay. It's way easier to do that. And funny enough, I felt more taken care of. OK, okay, after spending more money, which is crazy. And if you're like, that sounds stupid, Stephen, you're dumb. Why didn't you get the discount? It's not about the money at that point, okay? It's about the value, okay? And they're not the same thing. And you need to know that people are looking for that from you. So I just want to do this episode right here. I know it's a little bit more technical, but I want you to see what's running through my head as I start to look through someone's business. Okay, what are they thinking that they're selling in? Holy crap, this person has a price aversion. Or this person has no idea the historical price points inside their market. Or, right, does that make sense? You gotta figure out where you are. Or this person is just barely building out their product and they're afraid of charging the full price because they feel like they need to go beta. I never do discounts, ever. Yeah, I don't think you need to either. Anyway, so guys, that's what I look at, okay? Typical margins, typical time to fulfill on the product, and then I look at the order to actually go attack the value ladder in. And I spend quite a bit of time in that middle of the value ladder area, especially when building a blue ocean, because the red ocean is guiding me in the creation of the blue. I spend more time understanding the blue than I do, I spend more time understanding the red than I do creating the blue. Okay, because the market is gonna guide me in that. And as I do that, once I figure out the solution, once the idea is cemented, then I just go and I create something else and I sell back to those existing buyers. And then once I can tell I'm kind of getting all the easy customers from the red ocean, then I go out and I create a do-it-yourself solution just to acquire more people at a break-even, okay? At a break-even funnel. That's kind of how I do it. And I've done it twice now, just in this year alone. And it's been really, really fun. And it's worked really well. And I've been doing it for a lot of other customers, a lot of students, and the pattern's holding true. And that's exactly how we've been doing it. Doesn't matter if you're in the info business. Doesn't matter if you're in e-com. I actually love doing this most in e-com. Doesn't matter if you're in B2B or in retail or whatever. This is the conceptual thing that I use to go do that. And if you have more steps in your value ladder, that's okay. Just know that these are more like zones, okay? Towards the top, this is what it's gonna be. Towards the middle, towards the front. Okay, and if you don't have content, all right, people are gonna, what I do is I create content that hooks into each, I have an episode that hooks into each one of the pieces of my value ladder, and then I go back and I do it again, okay, and I go back and do it again, and the little tiny hooks to bring people in. And anyway, guys, hopefully that episode was helpful to you. I know it's kind of long, but like, I want you to understand what I'm doing and why I do it, and like the strategy behind I go and inflate a blue ocean and actually put the scaffolding in it to actually go win. Anyways, guys, thanks so much. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode. Please, it really means a lot to me. If you could leave a review inside of iTunes, it would mean so much. We spent a lot of time doing this, and it actually is very invigorating and exciting for me when I see inside of iTunes different reviews, and gives me steam to keep doing this. We put a lot of effort into this episode or this podcast. Guys, thanks so much. We'll see you guys later. Welcome to the Capitalist Pig Foundation. Bye. Oh, yeah. Hey, obviously a funnel's already dead if you can't even get anyone to opt in, right? So I spent 4 hours teaching an audience how to get high opt-ins, when they work, when they don't work. If you want access to that members area, where you can watch those replays, just go to freeoptincourse.com to create your free members account now. Whether you're new or experienced, that's freeoptincourse.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.